and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for Monday, July 7th. Today, we are recording at Tokyo Dome, and sitting across from me is Jim Allen. How you doing, bud?
Okay, I may be sitting across from you, but my head's still in cyberspace.
Get your head out of the cyber clouds.
Indeed.
How's it going, man? That World Cup getting you down?
It is not getting me down. I am conquering. I'm like the substitute keeper for the Netherlands.
All right.
You know, blocking those everything that comes to my way. So I'm hanging in there.
All right. Awesome.
Hope you all are doing well.
All right. On this week's show, we've got an interview with starting pitcher for the Hiroshima Carp, Brian Bullington. And we're going to talk about the standings and discuss the All-Stars and more. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases.
Okay, well, this week it's my turn to stump John, and I'm sure I will.
You say that as if it takes any kind of effort.
Yeah, well, I woke up this morning and I was a man with a mission, so anyway.
Wait a second. You didn't do the trivia until this morning?
Well, I was at the office at 6 a.m. What else do you want?
See, this is what happens. You give the man an assignment and he waits until the last possible second and stumbles over something.
Well, I was looking at the plan for today and I saw my name was on the trivia, so I figured I'd better get something. It's better than remembering.
Wait a minute. Now you're opening up door after door here. You didn't look at that until today?
No, I looked at it. I just didn't remember it until today.
Gotcha. I'm just teasing. Okay. Go ahead. Hit me.
Okay. Well, speaking of hitting, Shohei Ohtani, you know, on Saturday hit a pair of home runs.
That's correct.
So he has five on the season. So I'm going to, I think in honor of Shohei Ohtani, our home run hitting pitcher, I offer these questions about home run hitting pitchers.
Oh, no. Questions? It's a trivia question. You keep doing this every week.
It's kind of just fun stuff. It's really easy.
Yes. Yeah.
On August 17th, 2004. Kimiyasu Kudo won his 200th game and hit his first career home run.
Mm-hmm.
What record did he set with his home run?
Again, he threw his, what, 2,000th?
200th. He won his 200th game, and he hit his first career home run.
2004.
Mm-hmm. So what record did he set with his home run?
In 2004, he was the oldest pitcher to hit a home run in a game.
Well, that's close. He was the oldest player to hit his first home run.
My first career home run.
Okay. This is real easy ones.
Real easy.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you everything just to figure out what the significance is.
Okay.
On October 10th...
Playing Jeopardy here.
It is, yeah, a little bit. On October 10th, 1967, Tsuneo Horiuchi, the ace of the... These are all Giants stuff. Tsuneo Horiuchi of the Giants threw a no-hitter and homered three times.
Wow.
That's a game. Okay. What record did he set? I should say he homered in consecutive at-bats.
Come on, man.
Come on, John.
He became the first pitcher to homer in a no-hitter.
Well, he was the only pitcher to homer in three consecutive at-bats. Never happened. Okay, and last one is just a little trivia nugget. This is not a question.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Ohtani has five home runs. Now, the record for home runs in a season by a pitcher is... Any ideas?
Oh, home runs in a season by a pitcher. And this would have to be probably a long time ago.
Probably a long time ago, before we were born.
And I would... Before we were born, I was going to say Victor Starfin, but I don't know.
Oh, that's a good guess. Inao might have been a good guess, too, but... Hideo Fujimoto, the former ace of the Yomiuri Giants, did it in 1950. And since the end of the war, he hit 15 home runs.
15, wow.
He hit seven that season in 1950, but I don't have his career records through the end of the war. But he hit 15 after the war, so that's quite a number. So
wow.
Ohtani's still chasing him.
But he's going to get there.
Yeah, he will.
It seems like he's going to get there.
He will.
Two home runs on his birthday.
Okay.
That's a heck of a birthday.
So that wasn't so painful, was it?
Yes, it was. You should just be glad you can't experience the sweat that's coming out.
Oh, God, I can see it. It's bad. You don't look. Cover your eyes.
Cover your eyes. Phones and computer screens, people.
Okay. Now, last week, Actually, it was this past week. I went out to Yokohama Stadium and had a chat with Brian Billington. He was very busy. I had to wait a long time to get a hold of him. He was having a little powwow with Brandon Duckworth, who I didn't recognize in his out of his Rock 10 uniform.
He's a popular guy. Brian is.
He is, and so he waited, and I waited, and he, you know, we had a little chat back there in the mirror room behind the visitors' dugout. And now Brian Billington, you know, he's been a great asset both to the Hiroshima Carp and Japanese baseball, and to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast.
Yes,
it's always happy to help. He was the first overall pick in the 2002 amateur draft by the Pittsburgh Pirates. I knew John knew that trivia question, so I didn't throw it at him. Now he went in his major league career. He went 1-9 in 26 games for the Pirates, Indians, Blue Jays, and Royals. Although he's a career .333 hitter in the major leagues.
Wow!
One would know that. 1-for-3.
The Shohei Ohtani of
indeed, but no home runs
for the Pirates, right?
Okay. In AAA, he was 36-26, and then he came to Japan. Now, when we spoke, he had allowed 14 runs over 12 and a third innings over his previous three starts. You know, they were pretty ugly. He then had a poor outing following night in Yokohama. So that was really four bad starts in a row. But this last weekend on Saturday, Saturday against the Swallows, he did quite well, and he left the game after six innings losing 2-1. In a game that it ended up the Swallows winning in the ninth inning. So anyway, we talked to Brian, and this is what he had to say about things Hiroshima Carpy. Our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast is Hiroshima Carp pitcher Brian Billington. Thank you for being on the show again.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. Now, the Carp coming out of interleague, you're not, you know, you had a really poor interleague overall, but you finished strong, and now you're going into back to the Central League. You feel like there's a sense of a momentum or the interleagues? What's the sense, you know, relief that it's over? Or?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the way the schedule's set up during interleague, you know, I think everybody's just excited to get back on a more regular, you know, playing schedule. You know, we're playing 6 days a week now, and everybody can get in a little bit more of a rhythm, and, you know, hopefully that'll help us. We finished, like you said, you know, we won our last five after struggling early, and, you know, hopefully we do have some momentum right now.
Of course, the last five, you're talking about the last four were at home, so you're not traveling around. Is the travel part of that? Because Marty Brown used to manage the Carp. He managed the Rock 10 for 1 year, and everyone wanted to know what's the big difference with the Pacific League. He says the air travel and the constant travel.
Yeah, it's definitely different. But for me, like you said, I think it's more the off days. You know, it's great having off days, but at the same time, it's hard to, you know, stay on a normal schedule. And you know, from a hitter standpoint, I think, you know, they're not seeing pitches on a regular basis. So it's just the whole rhythm of the season kind of gets interrupted.
Okay. The attitude, how was the attitude coming? Obviously, this is your fourth year, and you've seen a lot with this team and been through some lean times. And then last year, you guys come out of nowhere. Didn't surprise me as much because it was a young team with some good players, but you surprised the Central League, and then you went into camp. How was the attitude in camp? Did you feel it was any different?
Yeah, there's a little more excitement, I think a little more optimism. You know, I think a lot of our younger players, you know, got a lot of confidence last year down the stretch, and you know, obviously when you're winning, you know, things usually are feeling pretty good around the clubhouse. So you know, that momentum carried into the beginning of the season, and you know, we got off to a great start, and even still, you know, we're six games over 500, I think, and, you know, 2.5 games back of the Giants, and, you know, I'd say for, you know, the end of June, you know, if you'd have told us at the beginning of the season, I think we'd have been pretty happy with it. So I think we like where we're at right now, and we're just going to, you know, continue to play hard every night and see what happens.
Well, speaking of pretty happy with it, I know, you know, last year you went to the second stage of the Climax Series, and, of course, that's where you wanted to fight it out with the Giants. In the first game, it was like that, and after that, it kind of went south. But is it the same kind of feeling now, like we've accomplished something to get here, and now we have to take the next step?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're always, you know, looking to progress, and especially with a, you know, a younger group of guys, you know, that next step would be, you know, either winning the league or, you know, advancing farther in the playoffs. So, You know, that's certainly the goal. You know, we obviously, you know, they're a veteran team. You know, they're a very talented lineup, and, you know, they have the veteran pitching to go with it. So, you know, it's certainly not an easy task. You know, there's a lot, and you look at the other teams, you know, the Swallows are scoring a ton of runs. Yokohama always scores runs. You know, Hanshin pitch as well. So, you know, you, there's, it's anybody's game, I still feel like, at this point. Shinichi had a good interleague. So, I think it's still wide open. We still got a lot of baseball left to play.
Okay, now, speaking of a young team, you guys got a whole crop of young pitchers this year and some pretty good ones. And I noticed early in the season they were really throwing strikes and not walking guys. It was like almost you've got a whole new pitching staff in some ways, but now they've had a few more ups and downs. Now, what I want to ask is, do you have any interaction with these kids? Because they probably want to know, what are you throwing, how are you gripping the pitches? What kind of questions do they ask you, or do they ask you anything at all?
Yeah, you know, we talk about some stuff. It's less technical from a how do you, you know, throw a slider, how do you hold your changeup. It's more about, you know, it's their first time going through a long season like this, and you know, they've pitched a lot, you know, in college and whatnot. But, you know, to go through a, you know, 140 game season for the first time and, you know, try to make 25 or 30 starts in a row, that's something they've never done before. So the information I try to give them is more about, you know, when you have a rough one, you know, you got to keep your level head, keep doing your work in between starts, and you know, it's going to turn around. It's a long season. You're going to have, you know, a couple times throughout the year where things aren't going your way, but you just got to keep doing the work and not let it, you know, eat you up mentally.
Would you have some horror stories from, you know, things that you learned the hard way, like the time when you let it, I guess, lose perspective or something?
Yeah, I just think it's a natural thing. The first couple times you go through a rough patch, you know, you feel like you're going to, you come in on top of the world, and they, you know, like you said, Osara, you know, got off to a great start this year and, you know, won five or six in a row, you know, early in the year. And, you know, then you have a couple bad ones, and you just got to continue to, you know, like I said, do the work, which he works extremely hard. But from a mental standpoint, just be able to kind of give yourself a break and realize, you know, maybe the bad ones aren't quite as bad as the numbers look. Just as much as the good ones sometimes aren't as good as the numbers look. So you just got to continue to, you know, be consistent throughout the season.
Okay, well, that brings up the next question, because you went into interleague on fire. You pitched a couple of games where you were allowed to run, and then the last three were kind of, the numbers look forgettable. Now, I know that you're past that, but did you take anything out of those starts and, you know, maybe an adjustment you needed to make or anything?
Yeah, you know, there were a couple mechanical things, you know, I feel like I got away from doing that I need to be doing within my delivery. And then, you know, like you said, you know, I gave up a bunch of runs. But you got to kind of look at the pitches that were hit, where they were, you know, and realize maybe it wasn't, you know, the numbers. You know, I think I gave up a, you know, a three-run homer or, you know, whatnot after a couple bloops and whatnot. So you don't want to rationalize everything bad, because you do have to, you know, look at the body of work and analyze it a little bit. But you do have to find a couple things in there, you know, even from your good ones, that you can, you know, try to improve the next time around.
Now, what kind of interaction do you have with the coaching staff? Because obviously they're vitally concerned in how well you're pitching and how well you and how consistent you are. What kind of tips do you get? Have you improved as a pitcher since you came to Japan?
Well, from them, it was just, you know, getting the opportunity. You know, I feel like they trust me a lot. You know, they've given me the ball, you know, consistently for 4 years now. And, you know, I pitched well at times over here, but I really feel like, you know, they have my back. They believe in me. And, you know, I do have a couple bad ones. You know, they want to get me right back out there as opposed to bury me in the knee goon for a month or so. So that's been great, just having the confidence or feeling the confidence that they have in me. And we do have interaction, you know, our pitching coaches, you know, they don't speak a ton of English, and I don't speak a ton of Japanese, but, you know, we can speak baseball pretty well, you know, which is good. So, and then, you know, Nomura-san, you know, speaks some English, so there's definitely interaction there.
Do you have a good sense? Well, I mean, they obviously have a good sense for what you're trying to do on the mound, and they, you know, they're not worried about the pitches you don't throw, so it's, they know what your mechanics are. You feel comfortable talking about your mechanics with them or discussing certain issues?
Yeah, and for me, it's more about, you know, the way we attack certain hitters and the aggressiveness and whatnot. We don't get too mechanical. Okay. When there is something glaring, you know, they let me know what they see. Okay. But it's usually more about, you know, how we go about, you know, certain at-bats.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time, and good luck. And I guess I have one more question. Is have we seen the best Brian Bullington yet here?
Hopefully we'll find out. Hopefully right. There's more in the tank. I don't know. We'll see how the rest of the year plays out. But I'd like to, you know, certainly to continue to be a part of what's going on here.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. It's always a pleasure.
Good to see you.
Okay. Thank you, Brian, again. Always glad to hear you, and much appreciated for your patience.
Thanks so much, buddy. Next time I'll chat with you when I go to the park. But it's good hearing your voice. Haven't seen much of you this year.
That's the way it's been with the World Cup, man. We're not getting out of this. So what do you have to say about what Brian said?
Well, the first thing is I kind of felt for you at the beginning of your chat with him, because the way you tried to word the question, because I know you wanted to say you guys have really been awful in interleague play, but you wanted to be careful because it's the first question. You don't want to really blow up the mood or anything. So I felt for you, but I kind of understood what was going on.
I didn't want to say awful. I wanted to say decrepit.
Well, you can't conk the guy over the head with a question on the first, you know, the opening shot. So I understand, but they did play like crap, you know, in
wow.
the league. And there's no nice way to put it. They were awful.
You can't say crap.
And even when they did win games, you kind of snuck that in like a backdoor slider. You said, yeah, well, you played at home.
Well,
they did. It's a fact. You just added that. You added
that.
But
we were talking about the travel, and that's
exactly
what I meant. That part of the problem with interleague is you're constantly on the road, and the last four of the last five games were at home. So I think it helped the Central League teams, you know, bail out what was a really horrible record.
Right. I understand. So other than that, the comments that I took away from the chat were the mentions that he made about the young pitchers.
Mm.
And I took this away because I constantly bring this up in the podcast, the fact that young pitchers tend to wear down, and that making it through a full season or, you know, being consistent throughout a season is the big challenge for these guys. Some of them can really throw. In the case of Daichi Osada, he's a really good pitcher. I've said before, I think he's exceeded expectations, at least matched them for what they had for the plan. But of course, it's only July, and I don't see him improving. I see decline in the numbers that he's putting up. He's allowing more base runners. He's struggling through more innings consistently. So I think that's the thing. And to hear Brian say, hey, look, I'm there for you to mentor you through the mental challenge and the physical challenges that you're going to have to present, much more than, hey, look, you need to throw a slider here, or you need to try to do this with a batter, or you need to approach this guy this way. I thought that was the thing that that really impacted me the most in his talk was that.
You know, the interesting thing there, and it sort of, you know, it's funny, it didn't occur to me that way. I sort of picked on them as two different topics, but his discussion with the young kids, his interaction with young, and I'm always interested in how players who don't speak the same language interact with, or, you know, players interact with coaches.
What's the dynamic there?
Right. Because it happens to every, you know, we've heard some really, really interesting answers. My favorite being Kevin Hodges talking about the coaches telling him how they would try to hit him. we're not going to get to Dave Okubo yet. Anyway, so it's always kind of interesting, and I remember Jason Spandridge telling me about the Tigers pitching coaches and talking about the mechanical issues that they were on the lookout for. And I was thinking, had all this in mind, and he said, no, basically it's all tactical stuff, you know, how to go after this batter and how to go after that batter, and how to essentially a technical approach.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than a physical approach. And then when it comes, you know, I asked if he you know, they talked about pitches and other things with the youngsters. He said, no, it's all physical stuff.
Mm.
So you get, you know, he has that.
There's two aspects.
His relationship with the young pitchers is all about enduring and conditioning, more or less, and both physically and mental conditioning.
Right.
And with the coaches, it's all about tactical stuff, which was kind of interesting.
I also found it interesting that he would comment about the interleague play being the choppiness of it, the fact that you can't get a lot of rhythm. Because as a pitcher, I guess they could shorten the rotation a little bit, and you can still get your day in. It might change once in a while with the weather issues that particularly they had this year. I don't know that Hiroshima had to deal with a lot of weather issues, but anyway, the routine changes and all that other stuff, I understand. We talked about it with Lasting's Millage earlier this year. He talked about how the fact that, you know, baseballs should be played every day, and when there's not a regular routine going on, that throws guys off, and I understand that. But the PL's playing the same schedule. You know, it's not like the CL teams are out there pinholed into some unfavorable playing situation. So I can't go with that. I can't see that as an excuse. Maybe it's different for them, but and it throws their rhythm off. But to consistently for, you know, 10 times now, we've seen that the PL is consistently better at making those adjustments or getting used to the travel and the rhythm and all those things.
You know, my answer to that is they're not making better adjustments. They're just better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a big thing.
Not like they're making any adjustments.
Right. I think they do have a small edge. I think they do have a very tiny edge in the sense that they're more used to the air travel. These guys, you know, pack up and leave a lot. So especially if you're from the fighters, you know, you have to do that. But I think with the carp, it's a different issue. Now, as far as the batters go, I think this is what the issue that he's talking about is. The carp batters are having trouble not hitting every day. But again, this is a carp issue. I don't think it's a Pacific League issue. You know, it's not
a Central League issue.
Yeah, I don't think it's like the Pacific League is tougher in that respect, because it's not tougher on the carp. You know, I guess I could look. You know, we could look and see. It would be kind of a eureka moment if we noticed that the Pacific League's toughest pitchers all line up against the carp. That would be kind of interesting. I doubt it's happening, but, you know, that's within the realm of possibility. Those things do happen. Now, as far as other things going, the shift, talking about that shift for the young guys from amateur baseball to pro baseball is always kind of interesting. I've had a number of Japanese players tell me that one of the hard things about becoming a professional baseball player is adjusting to the quality of the opposition. Because Yoshio Itoi was a pitcher in college, and he was a very good pitcher. He was drafted as a pitcher. And
my man.
The problem was, you know, he could throw everything. He had really poor control, but it didn't matter, because as long as he could throw it close to the strike zone, he'd get swinging strikes.
Right.
But what happened is he turned pro, and guys didn't swing at ones out of the strike zone, and the ones he did throw in the strike zone got hit.
Right.
So he became an outfielder after a couple of years.
Right.
So that's one adjustment, but the other adjustment is, if you're a college player or you're a corporate league player or a high school player, especially a corporate in high school where they have tournament play rather than league play, and you know, they play these short bursts of games. They'll play six games in 1 week, and then 3 weeks later they've got six games, and then 3 weeks later they've got six games, and it just seems like there's no rhythm whatsoever.
Right.
College is a little different, but the seasons are short. You know, they're like 2 month seasons, and they've got two month seasons a year. So it is quite different. And the other one, I just talked to Yuki Yanagita of the Hawks last Tuesday. He said this was a new one for me. The biggest adjustment for him going from the minor league to the top league was the fact that there were games every day.
Yeah.
It's like on the farm team, you get rainouts, and then, you know, you've got four games a week, and then you get a rainout every week.
Right.
So that was tough.
It's different. Well, he talked about the fact that they had a really good start, and you know, obviously they were leading the Central League early on. They were 27-15 before the PL tragedy took place. And that's Interleague when they lost. They only won nine games in Interleague.
It's like a Greek tragedy. They know it's coming.
The PL tragedy.
But they can't get out of it. Just walk right into it every year.
Right. So they lost their lead in the Central, and now they're chasing the Giants. And I think falling out of first place, I don't know if it's a mental blow to them. You know, obviously, Brian said, hey, if you'd have told us in spring training that we'd be six games over 500 and we'd be where we are, we'd probably say that's fine, we'll take that and try to go from there. And obviously they're going to have to take that because that's where they are, but they were in better position. And I do think they have the staying power. In fact, I think they have the power to come back and push this race down to what I like to say, the last pitch of the season. They have the pitching. The pitching's been steady enough, I think. If Kenta Maeda is healthy, and I know he had some elbow issues
earlier this season. He's had to skip like three starts this year.
Yeah,
so.
There's I don't know that there's something wrong. I haven't had time to sit down and watch an entire game to see what's going on, but I don't know that he's entirely healthy. But he's healthy enough to get guys out because he pitched well the other day. Yusuke Nomura recently came back, and he pitched well. And Alan Cuddy pitched well against the Giants the other day, and of course Daichi Osada is pretty good. So something's happening out there, and we're recording this during the game on Sunday, so this is awesome. We have to miss the game, but it's still a cool feeling. Sounds like something good for the Giants just happened. Anyway,
it sounds like we got a live audience.
Sounds like we got a home run. the tumble kind of coincides with the loss of reliever Ryuji Ichioka, who was doing well. He was holding leads for him. He was keeping games close and getting to the back of the bullpen. So I kind of think that they miss him.
Well, anytime you got to use Katsuhiro
Nagakawa,
you're pushing the boundaries of respectability.
And you know who came up the other day and was pitching?
I don't know.
Imamura, the human run.
Oh.
Put him on the round and runs will happen. So it's a bad scene, but hopefully they'll get that stuff cleaned up. I think they have staying power. They really have good strong starting pitching, so I think those starters can carry it till late in the game. And I think a couple bullpen guys, if they're doing okay, they'll be able to survive.
Well, I'm with you in general. Now, I guess you could ask the question: were the Carp contenders before? How has the interleague failure affected their chances? And I think in all fairness, we're used to the Carp failing in interleague. It seems to be it's one of the things they're not really good at, and now why they're not good at it. So it didn't really change. It doesn't. I expected them to be better than last year, but I was also prepared for the fact that they wouldn't be. It doesn't change my impression of what the team is and what they're capable of at all, because it was more or less what I expected. On the other hand, had they blown away the PL, I would have said, okay, watch out for the Carp. So that would have been, that essentially didn't change anything about what I expected from the season, which is to finish a very close second to the Giants.
All right, if I could just take a second here, and we thought something big happened and something did. Hirokazu Ibata, the former Dragon, hit a home run, a solo shot against his former team, and put the Giants up 1-0 in the fourth inning. So that's what happened.
Wow, you can hear Ochai cringing from here.
So yeah, I understand. I'm with you, and I don't think they're first place talent at the moment, but I like what Rosario has done, and I think they're better defensively. Eldred has made some great plays, and he's a good outfielder, but he's a better first baseman in my opinion. He's made some really good plays over there at first base, and I don't think Rosario is that much better than Eldred as an outfielder, but he has a little bit more speed and mobility, and maybe that can help him make some plays. But I don't see him making more plays out there. I just think that Eldred at first base has really helped him out.
Well, I love Rosario's swing. He's explosive.
Yeah.
There's nothing I really don't like about the Carp. They're catching. Their number one catcher is hurt a little bit. Ishihara's out. Kila is, I don't know what his injury status is, but he's on the farm team right now. Cam is back. Ichioka is not back yet. But it's better than it was a couple of weeks ago. They're back into the Central League where they do play well. And, last year they came, here's the thing. Last year they came out of Interleague. And not only did they get their butts kicked in Interleague, but they got their butts kicked in June and they got their butts kicked in July.
Right.
It wasn't until like the 2nd of August that they turned into killers. And it was an amazing transformation. Here they come out and they've played fairly well. Now, the transformation of the Carp is similar to one that we saw with the Bay Stars when under their last two managers. The Bay Stars basically used to play pretty good against the Carp and the Swallows.
Mm-hmm.
And they went in prepared to lose against the Giants, Dragons, and Tigers.
Prepared.
Yeah, they were set for that. So when things didn't go their way, they were, okay, well, it's what we expected.
Too accepting. No, fight it. Fight.
So, but now I get the sense that the Carp are all geared up to play the Giants.
Yeah, I do too.
And that
not only that.
Yeah, well, and that now they're in the situation a little bit like the Swallows, where they get geared up to play the big teams and they lose to the bad teams.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, a scenario in which a bully has been beaten up on them for a while, and now they've got a bodyguard. Did you ever see that movie, The Bodyguard?
Yeah, My Bodyguard.
My Bodyguard. They got a little guy. They got a few guys. They think they can take them on right now, and they got some confidence. And I like the way they compete. They played them recently in a 2-game series, I think it was, and they split the series. But I like the way they competed. They got behind early in the first game, and they came back to within a run. And then in the second game, they took a lead and held on to it late. So, looking at the league race now, I still think the Giants are the class of the league. They just went over 500 by 14 games on Saturday, which is their highest, the most games they've been over 500, the best record over 500 so far this season. I think to consider all the changes that they've had, bringing in Cepeda, Leslie Anderson going up and down, Jose Lopez not getting a lot of steady time, some injuries, some inconsistent starting pitching, some inconsistent bullpen pitching. When you look at the end of the day, they're way above 500 when compared to the lower class of the Central League, and they're winning. So obviously they are the class of the league, and I just see this as a two-horse race. Mm. I just see it as the Carp and the Giants, and can the Carp beat up on the little guys enough to stay in it and then grab a couple games here?
Well, I will say that my prediction that the Swallows would finish third is probably not going to happen. I mean, you just didn't expect the entire team to be disabled.
Yeah, but again, with those guys, if Ogawa, Ryan Ogawa comes back and Coco comes back, I mean, they're doing all this stuff now on one leg. If they get both legs, I think they can actually start to make some strides.
Yeah, I guess if Ogawa comes back and Sato Yoshinori comes back, they could be pretty good. But you know, Coco will have to come back as well. There's a lot of comings and goings and coming backs and they need a lot of that.
Comings and goings and comings back. I like that. Yeah, and the Tigers and the Dragons, I think, you know, to be honest, I think third place is going to be the most compelling race here in both leagues, I think. Not first place so much, maybe, but third place. And I think the Tigers have had some injuries and the Dragons have had a good stretch and the Swallows are always battling through the injuries as usual. And the Bay Stars are the Bay Stars, but I just see this third place race. I think the Dragons are probably too young, probably too inconsistent. I think the Swallows, I think they're going to have an impact. I still see a run coming in from them in the second half. The Tigers are the team that are just, I don't know what to make of them because they score a lot of runs sometimes and they don't score any. They pitch well sometimes and they don't pitch well at all. Nomi went off the mound the other day. He might have an injury that's going to keep him out for a while, and that changes the dynamic of their pitching staff. So I don't know what to make of them, but I would say that if they've been in it so far, they're not going to tank to the bottom. But
yeah, their offense right now is really kind of disjoint. Neither of the Arise or have been playing well. The catching has been remarkably good this year from them. One of their youngsters has come up and done a very good job. They've been good at holding runners.
Umeno.
Some of the outfielders are pretty good. Toritani's having a typical Toritani year, which is that it doesn't look really impressive until you actually really look at it, and you kind of go, wow, maybe he's not having the defensive. You know, he had this defensive year last year like people aren't supposed to have.
Mm.
So yeah, I don't know about the Tigers. The Dragons are a mystery, too. But, you know, here's the thing about the Dragons. I mean, about this time last year, Hector Luna got hurt.
I think, wasn't it a little bit later?
It might have been the beginning of August or something, but he was hurt. And in fact, the first day I ever talked to Hector Luna, I said, how are you doing? He says, I feel terrible. And that was the day he was deactivated and didn't play again the rest of the season. He was scratched from the starting lineup.
Mm.
And Anderson Hernandez had a month in June that I'm going like, he was barely playing before. And now, you know, he's a player of the month candidate.
Mm.
So a lot of things are going on with the Dragons that, you know, because as we, you know, you mentioned last week that Daisuke Umai was their best pitcher this season. And he's, what, 8-0 now?
No, he's still 7-0.
Still 7-0.
They blew that game somehow.
Okay. Okay, he's 7-0, but they're doing it in weird ways. They've become sort of the Eckholt Swallows. You know, they're the team that doesn't look like it can compete, but there they are, you know, nipping at your heels. So So I don't know the Bay Stars. I don't see much coming out of them. That is kind of interesting. The Pacific League is no big surprise. The Hawks are the Hawks.
I am surprised by the Hawks.
Because, you're surprised by the Hawks.
I thought they'd be better.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I thought the rotation. I probably overvalued some of their rotation. I probably thought
What part of their rotation did you think highly of?
The Nakata pickup, I thought he was good because he pitches so well in dome stadiums, and they have a dome, so I thought he would be a little bit better in the dome stadium. He's been okay, but not as good. I thought Lee would hit a little bit more with them.
True. The Hawks think that their impression of Lee was that he was a big clutch hitter, and they were disappointed that he hasn't hit a lot with runners on base and in scoring position. He's been more of an on-base percentage guy for them, and they're not real happy about that. But in terms of the overall, you know, the overall picture, I guess, I think, if you go back to the starting pitching, you know, it's Iwasaki had a good game. Iwasaki, well, this guy was like, his career was like, I don't know what his career looks like. It's there one day and it's gone the next.
Yeah, it's a footprint. It only lasts so long.
It's like a footprint in the sand, yeah. And I don't know, next maybe we'll see Hiroki Yamada come back and pitch some games because Setsu's been mediocre this year.
Yeah, he hasn't been himself.
And
you know, remember Brian Wolf was supposed to be there too.
Right. He's got credit for that. And Standridge has been very good. And of course, here's the thing about the Hawks. Hawashi didn't do anything for him last year. Has been very good for them. And he's a very quiet guy in the Kenichi Nakata role. You know, you don't expect that much from him, but he's been quite good. They've got all these kind of quiet pieces. Then, in a sense, they've become the Dragons. You know, they're supposed to be the Hawks, but they've become the Dragons, and they're succeeding with that. And the other, of course, the thing about the Hawks is just the tremendous play of Yuki Nagita, who's like, he's been having an MVP year.
My favorite Hawk.
Yeah, mine too. And the other thing, and speaking of Sharks with the Hawks, I'm sorry that rhymed, but what's with Yuki Yoshimura that, you know, this is a guy that I wouldn't even want on my team. And all of a sudden, not only is he hitting regularly, he was hitting well in the farm team. They brought him up. And I don't know when this happened, but the Hawks last year decided to make him a third baseman.
Yeah, did you see he made a great play the other day?
I did not see the play, but I saw that he had been playing in the minors. And I saw that last year he's been playing in the minors. This is a guy who's basically, you know, I don't like to cast aspersions, but he's...
Go ahead, cast one once in a while. Feels good!
Wow, that was an invitation to be rude. But he's not the brightest, you know, he's not the brightest light in the chandelier.
I like that. That was an invitation to be rude, and then he's rude!
I mean, Futoshi Nakanishi, the former Hawks great, lives in Tokyo, and he basically spends all the time he can coaching willing young hitters how to hit. And he basically gave up on Yanagita.
Because this one's broken. Excuse me. Can I get a refund here?
It was like his brain's full.
Yeah.
So, anyway, he pretty much gave up on him because he just couldn't. He had no discipline, and I don't know, maybe that he's back in Fukuoka where he's from, and that he's turning things around. I'm glad for him. He's a gifted athlete. I'm shocked to see him at third. I thought they'd finally let Egawa go back to third and show that he's a really, really, really good player, but they've decided to put him back in the waiting list to go into the outfield. So that's the Hawks.
It's a long list.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I guess the surprises of the Buffaloes are, you know, confounding us by being the team that we we always expect they can be.
Yeah. Well, again, I talk about me not being sold. I'm not really sold on them as the pennant winners, but I think they're going to be in the playoffs. They look like they have the staying power. I'll trust them. You know, again, we you and I both dissed them pretty severely in our pregame and our preseason.
Yeah, that's. I think diss is fair for what I said. I wasn't as harsh as you were, but yeah.
But I still, I it's only because I like the team and I'm frustrated that I don't see some of the guys I like, especially with my favorite player in Japanese baseball, Yoshio Itoi.
Well, he's having an MVP year.
Not getting the production or not getting to the postseason. So I would like to see them do that. I think they can do it. But the fight, you know, for third place, and probably I still think it'll be a fight for all the spots in the Pacific League. But I think just to watch the fighters and how they've been, they're starting to find some traction. And I really contend that the young rotation, that's a second half concern for me for them. Again, you know, being that Brian Bullington said, these young guys have never pitched this much before. I think to have two rookies in the rotation is asking for adventure, let's say, in the second half.
And I think you could throw Otani's in the young pitcher. This is his first year in the rotation.
Right. So essentially, they've got three guys who have never pitched a full season or made 30-some-odd starts or 20-some-odd starts in a season. So I'm concerned about it. But the way they're – I mean, you know, you talked about Shohei Ohtani and what he did on his birthday, hitting two home runs and on the day that he turns 20. And he's pitching so well. And I just – every time I hear these people or someone say that he's not going to be able to do both in the States, I'm like, you know, I just want him to go to a National League team where at least every 5 days he gets to hit. You know, and if he does that, I think he could be in a situation where he could be a pinch hitter on a regular basis.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see him go to a National League team or an American League team where every 5 or 6 days he gets to pitch and he gets to play in the field 3 days a week.
Yeah.
That would be ideal.
Because
it won't happen because, you know, Americans know everything.
Yeah, well, you Americans know everything. But you've convinced me because yesterday the home runs that he hit, he took an outside pitch to left field. You know, you convinced me because you've always been talking about how good a hitter he is, and I keep saying, dude, you know, 99, 98, 156 or 160K on the gun. He's, you know, that arm. You need to put it on the mound. But yesterday he took an outside pitch and hit it to left field. He took an inside pitch and raked it to right field.
Didn't it look like that first home run, like he had one of those jumping balls?
Yeah, I'm questioning the ball.
It hit off the end
again,
of his bat.
But and I've been feeling that way about some of the other ball. I think if they do another study, they're going to find something. I'm not even going to worry about the ball anymore. I think they're mixing in some of the old ones with the new
ones.
I don't know. Who knows?
The second one might have had a little juice in it, but I think Ohtani put the juice in it. It was this little, a nice little sweet swing, and that ball exploded off the bat.
Yeah.
It could have hurt somebody in the outfield.
Well, and speaking of Ohtani, I think he's the jewel of the All-Star selections, obviously. He's the first player, or the second player overall ever to be voted in as a pitcher 1 year and then a position player.
Oh, who was the first?
The first was Junzo Sekine.
Junzo Sekine, who played
with Kinsetsu in the time.
And a former, fairly moderately successful manager with the Yakult Swallows.
Right. So apparently now Seiichi Hoshino is going to come out of his rehab or whatever he's on
to
coach the Pacific League team in the All-Star Series. But what did you think about the picks? I thought there was one big, huge snub, and that was Hector Luna of the Dragons. Mm-hmm. He's only leading the league in hitting or near the top, and he doesn't get picked for the All-Stars. The addition of his manager, Motonobu Tanishige, who's hitting all of 167, I think, before the game started today here at Tokyo Dome on Sunday. And that's just those two guys, one being on, one being off, is just a total mystery to me in a situation where, because they're usually good, we don't usually have snubs in Japan that we have to talk about.
Well, we do with the foreign players, because they used to have a rule that there were only two foreign players allowed on the All-Star team.
Right. It's just kind of weird, but we usually don't have to deal with that. We end up talking about the non-deserving players. Like, there's a couple of Shota Dobayashi of the Carp.
What's the Carp have become? very good at.
Well, it's because he's good looking. It's
well, you'll see lots and lots of votes for carp players. We used to see this phenomenon with the Giants and Tigers more than anybody, but in the last couple of years, it's been the fighters and carp fans who've been the most effective at stuffing the virtual ballot boxes.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about this Tanishige selection? I think, you know, sentimental pick because he's obviously, his playing skills have diminished. I don't see what you could say other than him calling a game or anything. What's all-starish about his play?
You got me. I have no idea. I'm completely lost. I'm mystified.
I looked around the league. I mean, you know, look at the catchers, and probably there are some lackluster catchers throughout Japan. But I've complained about this in the past as well. They don't let these guys play, and then they say, well, you can't play because you don't play. And
well, I guess that's the thing. They know.
How do you get experience without getting experience? So, you know, Ryuji Aikawa of Yakult, Akihito Fujii, Ryutaro Umeno. These are the Hanshin guys. You don't know them. The Bay Stars can't decide who the future is. They've got Takajo, they've got Kurobane, they've got Nishimori, they've got Tsuruoka. They're mixing them around. I think they're going to give Toshiki Kurobane a chance, it looks like. Takajo's got the great arm, doesn't hit. Mm-hmm. Kurobane's got a good arm.
Well,
he hits
a lot. Bit.
Hits enough, I guess.
I guess.
But what is it that they want? Do they want these guys to call the games, or do they want the guys to hit, or do they want them to be able to throw out runners or control the infield? What is it? Because if
they have to do it all. And then when they don't do it all, they have to change it for the next guy and see if he can do it all. Yeah. And then change it for the next guy and see if he can do it all. And they figure that if they shuffle the deck, you know, if they shuffle the cards enough, they'll, you know, they'll deal out four kings in a row.
Well, but they keep getting jacks. And these jacks are not... That's why we end up getting a Tanishige in the All-Star game, because nobody plays enough, nobody's making enough of an impression. Just stick with one guy. I mean, this is not an All-Star, and this hurts, you know, to have a guy like Hector Luna sitting on the sideline while a Tanishige goes out there and laughs and jokes it up with all the guys. It's just not right.
Well, it'll keep him amused, that's for sure.
But I tell you this, Shinosuke Abe, and I didn't leave him off the list, he's just the best. And that's hands down.
I don't think we have much to discussion about that. So.
But I tell you this, Yomiuri has its hands, it's going to be in good hands in the future, because this kid Seiji Kobayashi, everybody talks about how good he is, the footwork, the throwing, and he's starting, you know, he's starting today in this game on Sunday that we're here taping through instead of watching.
Be quiet, we're taping.
Hey, shut up. But, you know, I did see this interview with the Lotte skipper Tsutomu Ito of Chiba, and he said, you know, he used to be a catcher, and he talked about his catchers. He basically said that they have a stable of backups. Nobody has all the skills, calling games, reading his pitchers, reading the swings of batters, like I said, controlling the infield, and then these guys can hit and throw. No one has stepped up with all those skills, and that's one of the reasons why they keep shuffling in all these catchers. And I'm like, well, you know the guy who's going to, you're the manager, you're a former player, you know the one who's going to eventually be the one who's going to play every day. Not, and when I say every day, I mean 110 games in a season. Make a choice. You know, get one of those guys out
there. It's one of those things that you can get burned on, and nobody wants to be because they put so much pressure on the catcher to do everything, and they blame the catcher for everything. You know, they blame the catcher for the weather if they could. And I wish I was joking, but it's some of the stuff you hear is ridiculous. Like, you know, he should have been more careful about the wind or something. I don't know. So it happens a lot, and as I mentioned, the teams don't want to use catchers until the pitchers trust them.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. And you know, and the Hawks have a catcher on their farm team. It's probably one of the best hitters in the Western League, but they're probably never going to play him because he's a catcher, and the pitchers don't trust him yet. So he's probably going to stay. He's going to be one of these guys who's the best hitter in the Western League until he's about 27, and then he'll be too old to start a career.
Right.
So we've seen the Fighters have taken their really good hitting catcher Kondo and used him as a third baseman. You know.
Yeah.
So you know, because it's easier to use the guy out of position because, you know, and then if he makes a mistake at third, he's really a catcher, so we expect him not to do well at third. But if he's a catcher and he makes a mistake, you know, they've got the steel, you know, Sister Mary steel ruler out and whack him on the knuckles.
Bonk! Yeah. I tell you who I'm really happy for, though. It's Keiji Obiki of the Fighters.
Hmm.
I'm glad he's an all-star. He's having the kind of year I think Terry Collins and Oryx kind of were hoping for once upon a time, maybe.
Well, he was the kind of guy who, you know, he had all the tools, but they were always in different boxes.
Or he kept pulling out the wrong tool at the wrong time.
You know, that's how Toritani got into trouble.
I think he was pulling out a different tool at the opportune time. But anyway, getting back to our program, he's making some really dynamic plays at short. He's knocking balls around the outfield. I mean, he's hitting .363 with the runners in scoring position, and he's been really clutch for them. And I'm just really glad that he's getting it done for them. And I think that's one of the reasons that obviously the Fighters are in contention for a playoff spot.
I mentioned a month or so ago that one of the Fighters executives told me that they expected the defense to be much better, and I was very skeptical. And one of the things I was skeptical about was this sort of voodoo belief that Obiki would have a better year at the age of 34. I'm like going, brr. Guys don't have better, you know, they don't become better at the age of 34. They become less bad. You know, they decline less than other people. And actually, I'm wondering if he hasn't been hurt the last couple of years. I mean, besides his pride being traded. But he is having a very good year defensively, and they really needed that. Last year was, they had, you know, they had more holes in them than Albert Hall, and the it was just horrid. And he's been a rock in the middle of their defense, which is something they haven't had since Kaneko got too many injuries to stay in the lineup.
Right. Really happy for him. So one of the all-stars in the Pacific League, Nobuhiro Matsuda broke a finger, and he won't be able to appear, so I guess I have to get someone to replace him. But I'm wondering if somebody will get Hector Luna on the Central League team.
Put him on the Pacific League team.
Yeah, maybe they could just put him on the PL team. Say, hey, you guys don't need to use him. We'll take him.
That's right. You do like a pickup game, which is becoming sort of the thing in America, in the hockey, I guess. So anyway, we're getting to the end of June. We've passed the end of June. We're in July. Next we're going to have the monthly MVPs. The pitchers are pretty clear-cut. I think there's three candidates. Mm-hmm. The Central League, it's going to be a runaway. Second month in a row, we're going to have a base star. And this month, it's going to be Shun Yamaguchi, who went from closer to pitcher, you know, all-star closer to forgotten player to pitcher of the month in the starting rotation.
Well, I had a theory about that. I thought a lot of his success, and remember I told you, a lot of times teams in the interleague change up on other teams, on the opposition, and they bring up somebody from the farm or something. I think a lot of people just didn't know what he was going to do as a starter, because he's so limited but he throws a fork, he throws a fastball, he throws a slider sometimes.
He's a good hitter,
as a starter. He had a nice home run the other day. But I don't think they were ready for what he was going to do in his off-speed stuff as a starter, and I think that helped him. Now, obviously, he did pitch well. Oddly enough,
I was actually serious, and I forgot about the home run, because one game I remember he got the game-winning RBI against the Giants I was at with Mr. Rich Freeman.
Mm. And, hey, Rich.
Yeah. And
so, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, where
did he go? Was it 4-1 or 3-1?
He was 3-1 with a 0.99 ERA, which will win you an award.
Yeah.
Considering there was nobody who went 3-0 with anything in the Central League. Pacific League is probably it's a toss up really between Shohei Ohtani, who was 3-0 with a 1.37 ERA.
Bunch of strikeouts and just a few walks.
Now the difference with him is that, yeah, he only pitched 26 and a third innings. Norimoto went 3-1 with a similar ERA, but he pitched 42 innings. So, you know, that kind of weighs out that one loss. He also threw a couple of shutouts. I guess, now, if they were really intelligent... They'd add in their offense, and they say, oh, well, Ohtani also scored four runs and drove in a couple and had eight hits, and Norimoto was 0-6.
Oh, so, dude, put the bat down.
So, So I don't know. My pick would be Ohtani, but Norimoto would make sense. Now you get to the players, and it's anybody's guess. You've got so many good candidates this year, this month. In the Central League, you have Hector Luna, a 1.155 OPS, which is pretty outstanding, one of the best in the leagues. You have Anderson Hernandez, who hit 355. And then you have one of the killer ones, which is the guys who bat 400. Ryosuke Kikuchi
yeah.
Really didn't do anything. You know, it's hard to say he didn't do anything but bat 400. He didn't play defense, and we know defense doesn't count. But normally, if you bat 400, they'll just say, let's give it to that guy.
Yeah, you're in.
Okay. So the same thing could be said in the Pacific League, where Lee Deho batted 400. But being a first baseman, they might say, where are your home runs? I don't like your defense. Huh? Oh, sorry. Okay.
Where are your home runs?
Yeah.
I left them at home.
Exactly. OPS leader in the Pacific League last month was Takahiro Okada, but he only hit 349 and only, you know, scored 12 runs and drove in 14, which is more than Lee did. Or another interesting one is Yanagita, who was the May Player of the Month, so that'll weigh against him.
Right.
But he
already got yours.
Yeah.
Get out of here, kid.
He led both leagues with 21 runs, and he led both leagues with 19 RBIs.
Mm.
He didn't have the highest on-base percentage. He didn't have, you know, he didn't do all the other things. And since we know they don't look at runs, that's probably a losing cause.
Yeah.
So Lee Deho, who batted 400, they'll say, only batted 400. Let's give the award to him.
All right, you heard it here first.
Or not.
Or not.
Well, you did hear it here first, and come Wednesday, you know, please forget it.
Announcement day, yeah. All right. All right, one other note. Dave Okubo, who, the former Giants catcher.
No, he was the, he was drafted. He was the first-round draft choice by the Cebu Lions.
Okay.
And he was traded to the Yomiuri Giants. Because the Lions didn't want to use him because he was a catcher with poor defensive skills and that didn't fit their, you know, he was the guy who was going to hit a ton.
Yes.
But, you know, they didn't want a guy
hit
to catch
as much as he weighed.
Yeah, except pretty much. Yeah, he hit his weight and this guy's bulked up, so.
Although he looks really thin. He looks like he slimmed down a lot. But
wow.
So then he was a coach with the Cebu Lions until kind of a scandalous incident got him sent
Correct.
To the farm, and then he kind of disappeared. And now
he had a couple of incidents. He had always issues, and he's always had a lot of issues. And now he's surfaced with Rakuten. He was their minor league manager, and now he's their new interim manager.
And they brought him up on Wednesday, and this happened to be the day that a guy named Sho Miyakawa got the start. Against the Oryx Buffaloes. Now, Miyakawa got into the fifth inning and then gave up a couple. He was pitching in the fifth inning, two runners were on, and so Okubo decided that he wanted to bring Yuki Matsui in to face Willimo Pena with two outs in the fifth inning with this Miyakawa guy, one out away from being the pitcher of record in a game that Eagles were leading 2-0.
Well, the Eagles, Miyakawa walked a bunch of people, which to me says, hey, let's get that kid who can't not walk anybody.
If he's walking guys, we can get somebody else to walk him better. But anyway, we walk our guys better than you do. Anyway, so he brings in Yuki Matsui. And
Matsui didn't walk anybody.
Didn't walk anyone and struck out, I think, five over 2.1 innings and got out of this jam, including, you know, you got Willimo Pena, and so he gets his first win. So after the game, you think, because obviously Okubo, this was his first win as a manager, quote, I'm doing air quotes here, as a manager, his first managerial win, but I mean, you just let the player shine in his great moment, but no, Dave Okubo has to grab Yuki Matsui's hand and take pictures with him and basically spend 5 minutes in the dugout shifting like a boxer who just won a match in an Olympic boxing bout where he faces every single direction and bows and everything, and I just wish Dave Okubo, it wasn't about him, it was more about the players and the team and the achievement of the player, and it's too bad. But both these guys, Yuki Matsui got his first pro win, Dave Okubo got his first managerial win, and it was a nice moment for, I guess, The player? No, wait. The manager? No, wait. I don't know.
Well,
the team?
If all that Dave Okubo does for the Eagles this year is get Matsui out of trying to be the starter and letting him be go into long relief where he can just sort of settle down with low expectations. I think that's a big thing because he didn't walk anybody his first game. He didn't walk anybody when he was in the minors. He's much too good to pitch in the Eastern League, but he's still a little fearful of the Pacific League. So I think he'll get his feet wet and he'll get used to it and he'll get to make some adjustments and then face a few batters and sit down and work over it and face a few more batters and sit down and work over it and probably by the end of the season he'll be in the starting rotation but
he'll be fresh unlike some of the other young pitchers.
That's right. All right, well,
we are through the sixth innings. Well, that's not true. We're through the top of the sixth inning here at Tokyo Dome and the podcast is coming to an end with Giants up 1-0 over the Dragons, and they've only got that one hit. The home run by Hirokazu Ibata, the former Dragon.
Well, stay tuned, and we'll do like Japanese television. We're going off the air, but stay tuned to the news for the results of this exciting game tomorrow.
All right, so we didn't have any questions this week. We will definitely have one for next week, I can assure you. But send the questions to YAKYUJOHN@gmail.com or leave us a note on the Facebook page. Good seeing you, buddy. I'm glad we were able to do a show together. We haven't done this in a long time. It's fun.
Yeah, seeing John live is always an experience.
And smelling you live, seeing you live is also a great experience, my friend.
Thank you, John, for that photo of something or other.
All right, thanks a lot for listening to the end, and we will see you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
Oh, I will.
One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.